Good evening, one and all. Welcome back. It's good to be here with you tonight. We are going to be looking at part two of Psalm 23. Encourage you to grab your Bible at this time. Open to Psalm 23. I'm going to read that passage again, that important passage, very comforting passage from the Word of God this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're thrilled to have you here. We want you back as often as you can be here. And it feels a lot nicer in here tonight, doesn't it, than it did today? I don't know what day God said, let there be air conditioning. But on that day, He invented a very good thing. And obviously, the AC wasn't working this morning. Just a matter of flipping a switch, and everything is all cool and comfy and cozy now. So grab your Bible. We'll read it in comfort. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We talked this morning about David and his very interesting perspective that he was able to draw, being not only a shepherd but also a sheep simultaneously. David was a shepherd, but he saw himself in the sheep that he cared for. And he saw God as the great shepherd caring for His people who represent the sheep in this particular passage of Scripture. And in verse 1, we talked about, if God is your shepherd, you shall not want. You'll never want for any good thing in life. That is, anything that's good for you, you're going to have it. Anything that God knows is for your best interest, He's going to make sure you have that. He's not going to give you everything your heart desires, every little thing you want, but He's going to make you satisfied with all the things you have, and you're going to be content, and you're going to be satisfied. In verse 2, we talked about peace and contentment and satisfaction. How that is a depiction of that sheep lying down in green grass, walking beside still rivers or waters. You're going to have unparalleled spiritual blessings if you are following the great shepherd of the sheep, our God, Yahweh. And if you're in His watch care, you're going to be at peace and you're going to have contentment and satisfaction all the days of your life. And in verse 3, we talked about how He restores the soul of His people. He restores my soul, David said. We talk about refreshment, but it's more than that. We're talking about salvation here. God is the only one who can save you, and then if you drift away, like stray away like sheep do sometimes, He's the only one who can restore you, and He wants to do that. But He also wants to lead you in paths of righteousness. It's not enough for Him to restore you back to a place in His good graces. He wants you to follow Him, obey Him at His every word. Listen to what it is He says, and then do what it is that He says. And look, not just for yourself. He says, for God's name's sake, for your name's sake. If you don't want to do it for yourself, do it for God. You don't want to go giving your shepherd a bad reputation. If we're doing things for His name's sake, that means we are doing things to benefit Him. And what is the practical example of that? Well, if we are living a life of righteousness, walking a path of righteousness, following our shepherd, we're going to attract some other folks to do that as well. And if we're straying, we are going to give God a bad name, and we're not going to draw anyone to Him. As a matter of fact, we might start repelling people away from God if that's the case. And tonight we're looking at verses 4 through 6. And most people believe that verses 5 and 6 are a departure from the sheep and the shepherd theme. When he starts talking about there preparing a table and anointing the head and goodness and loving kindness following all the days of life, a lot of people look at that as just some great feast that God has prepared for them. Others believe it keeps right in line with the theme of the sheep and the shepherd. And I'm not really sure for certain. I think it'll work either way. We can draw some goodness, some benefit from looking at that in either direction. But we're going to stick with the sheep and the shepherd context tonight when we look at verses 5 and 6 as well. Well, verse 24, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Well, this is the halfway point of the psalm, and I really think it reflects the halfway point in the year in the life of a shepherd. Most shepherds took their flocks to distant mountain ranges for the summer months. And during these months, the sheep were alone with the shepherd in close, intimate contact, more so than any other time of the year. And you'll notice the personal language here, how he switches from the third person to the second person. Verses 1 through 3, he calls God he, his. And verses 4 through 6, he says you, your. Very much more personal and intimate language here. He's talking directly to God here. And in the spring, the shepherd and the sheep made that slow march through the valley, gradually working their way up to the tops of the mountains. We talk about those mountaintop moments in our lives, those times in our lives where we feel like we're at the pinnacle of our spirituality, where we're closer to God than we've ever been, whether it be in our study in life, or our prayer life, or our worship life, or the combination of all those things. Everything's just come perfectly into place, and we arrive at the mountaintop. Well, quite often to get to the mountaintop, you got to go through the valley first to start that ascension up. And that's the way it was for the sheep, led in the paths to the hills or the mountains at that particular time of the year. It would start with a march through the valley. And that's where the gentlest grades were. That's where the best water supplies were. That's where the streams and the springs flowed through the valley paths. And that's where water pooled. And that's where the richest feed was, in that valley floor where the rains descended on that particular place and the sediment lay, and that's where the richest soil was. So this was the best route to take for the shepherd to get to the mountain top. But unfortunately, danger was in that place as well. Danger loomed there also. Predators took advantage of this scenario. Coyotes, cougars, wolves, they would hide in their high redoubts. And in the cover of crag and cliff, they would just wait and be ready to pounce on unsuspecting passers-by, whether it be sheep or shepherd. Sudden storms could break loose, come over the mountains and break loose, and that would make the valley vulnerable to flash floods and mudslides. And in spite of all the dangers that are associated with walking through the valley, still the best path to take to get to the mountaintop. But here is the importance of the shepherd and his watch care. A shepherd had to be very vigilant, had to be very watchful, had to be very alert for all the dangers that the sheep are going to be exposed to. And now you really start to see the importance of the shepherd when taking these dangerous paths, leading the sheep up into higher ground and to better pasture. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but there really is a valley of the shadow of death in Palestine. Did you know that? There's a place called that. It's a steep, narrow canyon. And I was reading about this on the internet. One guy referred to it as a mini Grand Canyon. And I saw a picture of it, and that's kind of what it looked like. And it was just a treacherously steep set of mountains and this valley set in the middle of it. And it stays nearly in perpetual shadow. The sun only hits the valley floor at high noon. That's how steep and narrow this canyon is. And it's just full of dangers. And in Bible times, wild animals and robbers waited in their hiding places, in caves and crevices, just waiting to pounce and to do harm to the unsuspecting folks or animals passing by. Many suggest that this is the Jericho Road that Jesus referred to in the parable of the Good Samaritan, when he said a man was walking the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. Many suggest that's exactly the place that he's talking about. The priests and the Levites often took this route as well. And it was the valley through which the shepherd had to lead his sheep. And in the winter, according to the sources that I read, they would pasture in Jericho. But when the spring rains came in the Judean desert, the hills would just come alive with vegetation. Just flowers would pop up and green grass. And the shepherds would take their flocks out of the lowlands and to the mountain pastures in summer, where they'd keep their sheep. But they'd have to go through that valley, and they named it the Valley of the Shadow of Death because all the dangers that awaited there for them. But I want you to think about what the Valley of the Shadow of Death represents for you and me. Because we've got to make spiritual application here. What's he talking about? He's not talking about death. That's not what's being referred to here. So many times you hear this passage read at funerals. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear none ill. But really, the valley of the shadow of death is not death. It's the shadow. It's that which looms over us at all times. It's this world. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death right this moment. Danger and death lurk around every corner of this world. And life on planet Earth, it's just a dangerous thing to live. It's very deadly life that we live on this earth. It's rife with peril and uncertainty. But it's so worth living if we're following our shepherd. If we're walking side by side with him, being led in paths of righteousness, then we're going to be okay. As long as we're following the shepherd of our soul, we're walking at his side, we're saved. We have nothing to fear. That's what David said. No matter where I go, even if it's the roughest, darkest, most dangerous place, as long as I'm with God, I'm okay. He said, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, it doesn't really matter what anyone in this world does to you. There's a lot of danger in this world, and we face it every day. Sometimes we know about it, and sometimes we don't. But we don't have to worry about what anybody does to us. And Jesus tells us that in Matthew chapter 10. Verses 28 through 31, where he says, do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. We need a healthy fear, respect, reverence for God. And then if we have that, we need not fear anyone or anything else. He said, fear God, and if you do that, then you have nothing to fear. And that's exactly right. If we're following our shepherd, we don't have anything to worry about. God is intimately familiar with us, all the way down to the fine details, Jesus tells us. He even has the hair on our head numbered. That's how intimately familiar he is with us. And I think if we stopped to consider that more often, we wouldn't lose so many of those hairs worrying about the things that we worry about in this world. And Jesus said, God's eyes notice every sparrow that falls. He even notices your hair when they fall. He has them all numbered. He notices everything. He's got you covered. If you're following him, don't worry about what anybody in this world can do to you. Yeah, they might be able to hurt you. They might be able to kill you. But as long as you're walking with your shepherd, you're secure for eternity. So what really is the problem? You don't have anything really to worry about. God cares for us, and he wants us to stay near to him, and he wants us to be with him forever. Psalm 16 and verse 8 says, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Set the Lord continually before you. We talked about that this morning. How important it is to willingly, willfully come into the presence of God. Invite him into your life daily, hourly. Spend every waking moment with him, and even invite him in your life as you sleep. Don't spend a second of your life outside of your shepherd's watch care. Listen, the distance between the sheep and the shepherd is really pivotal as to how safe the sheep are going to be. And that's always true, but it's especially true when they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Really got to stay close to your shepherd there. If he is near them, he can find them if a storm suddenly crops up and threatens to wash them away. If he's near to them, if there's danger lurking in the form of animals or robbers, he can go to their defense. He can fend them off. He can, if a sheep gets trapped, it falls down into a crack or a crevice, he can take his staff and pull him out of there before any serious danger, any serious harm comes to him. But you got to stay near to the shepherd. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 34 and 35 said, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and I attacked him and I rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and I struck him and I killed him.'" David talked about his exploits as a shepherd, how he was fearless, how he went out and defended his sheep. Didn't matter if it was a lion or a bear. He was going to go and fend that thing off. He was going to defeat any enemy, any predator that was after his sheep. And I'm going to tell you, God's the same way. He's not going to let us fall victim to our enemy, our greatest enemy, Satan. Yeah, some folks might be able to do some bad things to us in this world, but if we're walking closely by our Savior's side, by our shepherd's side, then no permanent damage is going to be done. We're going to be safe. You know, when I'm walking my dogs, sometimes when I'm just calling them in the house and don't have the leashes on them, I have to tell them quite often, "Now stay with me. Stay with me." When I'm walking them, they just get so easily distracted by all the sounds and the smells and the sights. And I got to constantly tell them, remind them, and believe me, they understand. They speak the language. They get so easily distracted. A squirrel will run by, or a motorcycle, or another dog, or a nice lady, or a funny man, or a dead squirrel. And boy, that's a really interesting smell. And they're just going all over the place. And they can't stay focused for a moment. And I need to keep constant close watch over them. Pay close attention to them because it's dangerous. When that big old long leash, they can get pretty far away from me. Sometimes I have to pull them closer to me, especially when we're crossing the street. Because my dog, we talk about how dumb sheep are. My dogs are pretty dumb. They'll just walk right out in front of a car. One of them will, the big one will. The little one is even crazier than the big one. Because if it's a big diesel engine or truck making loud noise, he'll chase after it. And I've often asked him, and once again, he understands what I'm saying when I ask him this. I asked him, "What are you going to do if you catch that truck? I think you're going to be in big trouble. I hope you never catch it." But really, I have to pay very close attention to them and keep them near me at all times. And it's the same as true with us and our shepherd. We got to stay close. We've got to make sure we're very near to him at all times. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death this very moment. Danger and death loom over us. The world is fraught with uncertainty and peril. Don't try to walk it alone. You're not going to make it. You're going to fail. Don't think you can do it by yourself. You can't. You're a sheep. You need to be led by your shepherd and be in his safety. Psalm 107 verses 10 and 11 talk about some folks who walk in the shadow of death because of their rebellion. Psalm 107 verses 10 and 11 said, "There are those who dwelt in the darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners and in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of the Lord and spurned the Most High, the counsel of the Most High." Some folks are just asking for trouble. You know, life's dangerous enough walking side by side with our Savior, with our Shepherd. But you rebel against Him, folks, and you're biting the hand that feeds you. You're just staring death in the face and you're challenging. You say, "Come on, big boy, let's see what you got." Look, you don't want to do that. Because if you challenge death without your Shepherd and you lose, it's for keeps. Then it's all over for you. You have no hope for eternity. Walk through the valley of death with your shepherd. Don't rebel against him. Don't be stubborn. Don't be obstinate. And then, if you die, then when you die, it's only temporary. It's a minor setback, not a blip on the radar screen, because you're going to be with Him forever. Well, then David says, "Your rod and your staff comfort me." The shepherd's only tools in this time period, in this culture, was his rod and his staff. And the rod was just basically a long stick. It was a club he used for defense and for discipline. But more than that, the symbolic nature of the rod, the club, really is salient, really stands out, really prominent, or it should be, when we think about this instrument, because it's the symbol of power. Now, if you'll recall, Moses was a shepherd tending to his father-in-law's sheep out in the desert before God called him to come and lead God's sheep out of Egypt. And when God called him to lead his people to safety, you'll notice that Moses used his rod quite often as a symbol of God's power. You think about when he went before Pharaoh to try to convince him to let his people go. God told him, "You throw that rod down on the ground, it's going to become a serpent. You pick it up again, it's going to be a rod again." And he used that to demonstrate God's power. "Look, you don't want to mess with me here. God's behind me. This is God bringing these orders to you, not me, and I'm going to show you." And you think about when he went to the rock to draw water from it, and he got angry. God told him to take the rod with him and speak to the rock to show them, to remind them the power of God is with them. Of course, he struck the rock, and that disappointed God, but he still brought water forth from that rock. And then there was the times that he brought the plagues on the Egyptians, and he always brought them forth using his rod. He stretched his rod out, and this brought this plague or that plague on the people of Egypt. And then there was that time when he was up on the mountain when Israel was fighting against the Amalekites, against Amalek. And he was holding it. Remember that picture? He was holding his rod up. And every time his arms got tired and the rod started coming down, they'd start losing the battle. And then they'd push it back up, they'd start winning the battle. The rod really demonstrated God's power. And then there's the staff. That's the shepherd's crook. It's the stick with a hook on it. But it's more than just a stick with a hook on it. He used that for a variety of things. He leaned on that thing he got his sheep with. But it's really a symbol of comfort. The hook on the staff was just the right size to fit around the neck of a full-grown sheep or the body of a baby sheep, of a little lamb. And the shepherd would use this staff to draw the sheep to him, or to guide them in the direction he wanted to go, to steer them, or to pull them out of a crack or a crevice in the landscape, whatever the case, but to lift that fallen sheep up. And this really a sign of affection that the shepherd had for the sheep. One of the things that the shepherds of Palestine would do is they would take that staff, and as they're walking along with a sheep, maybe a favorite pet of theirs, they would just hold it up against the sheep as they're walking, just to let the sheep know, "I'm here with you." It's kind of like holding hands with the sheep. It's very comforting to the sheep, very reassuring to him. It comforts him, reassures him. There's great strength and comfort for the sheep in the shepherd's rod and his staff. Now, here's how I want you to look at the rod and the staff. And I've heard a lot of people use different things to associate with the rod and the staff, but these are the things I'm going to use. I've heard some people, read some people use some crazy things. I'm a pretty conservative person, so I'm not going to go way out in left field. I want you to look at the rod as God's Word. There's power in God's Word, unequal to any other power in this world. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved it is the power of God." And then in Romans 1:16, Paul talks about he is not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of salvation to all who believe. There's great power in this word of God, just as there was power in the rod that Moses used to lead his people out of Egypt. God guides us with His powerful rod, with His Word. We're not left without direction. We're not left without guidance. He hasn't left us to fend for ourselves. He tells us exactly what He wants us to do and where He wants us to go, right here in His powerful Word. He hasn't left us without defense either. He defends us with this Word. There's power to defend us, to guide us in paths of safety, to ward off all the dangers that are associated with sin, to defend us against Satan's greatest tool, his greatest weapon, and that is temptation and sin. And He's given us this Word in defense of that. And He hasn't left us without discipline either. Just like the sheep, the shepherd would discipline an unruly, obstinate sheep with the rod, God uses His powerful Word to discipline us as well. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. What does he tell Timothy there as a preacher of God's Word? When you're preaching, I want you to not just exhort, but I want you to reprove and rebuke as well. He disciplines us with these things, both in a positive fashion and in a negative fashion. Sometimes we really need to be rebuked and told you're doing wrong. So we can change that. So we can shape up and walk the paths of righteousness where there's safety. So we can see how important this Word of God is to us in relationship to the shepherd and the sheep. Now here's how I want you to look at the staff. Look at the staff as prayer. We can find great comfort in prayer. We can go to God in prayer at any time. He's given us the means to take anything to Him, anything that's on our hearts, anything that makes us happy or sad or indifferent, anything. And as the shepherd uses that staff to keep close, intimate contact with His sheep, God has given us prayer so we can keep close, intimate contact with Him. We can walk side by side with our shepherd. We can walk hand in hand with Him all the time. We can pray without ceasing. As a matter of fact, we're encouraged to do that in God's Word. Be a prayerful person. At the drop of a hat, be the kind of person who just wants to and is willing to go to God in prayer for any and no reason at all, just because it's good to stay in contact with Him. In times of need, in times of danger, in times of temptation, we can cry out to God to save us, to rescue us, like that shepherd would do with his crook, with that hook on that crook to scoop that sheep out of harm's way. We can appeal to God to help us and save us. Now, He's not always going to take us out of the dangerous situation, but He's going to relieve us of the burden just the same. He is going to rescue us from any permanent damage that might come from any situation on this earth. Prayer and God's Word. The two most important tools we have at our disposal. Really. Where else are we going to go? What else are we going to do to keep in close, constant contact with our shepherd? Okay, verse 5 of Psalm 23. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. This idea of preparing a table, keeping in perfect line with the shepherd and the sheep scenario, is the tableland, the mesa, the plateau on the mountain that you see sometimes depicted in artist paintings and things like that. Some of the best sheep country in the world has flat, grassy fields in the mountains, on top of a mountain, a plateau there. And it's high and it's hard to reach. It's very difficult to reach. And what the shepherd has to do before he even takes his flock up there, he has to go and prepare a place for them. He locates this place. He finds the best grazing grounds. He looks for any poisonous weeds that might be there, and he eradicates those, or he steers the sheep away from them. He places salt and mineral deposits in certain places for their nourishment. He goes and prepares that place for them. And he does so in full view of the sheep's enemies, of the predators. He'll go there and he'll scout out the places where the predators are. And he'll either trap them or kill them or run them off. Also, his sheep can be safe. But it's the shepherd's preparation that makes all this possible for the sheep to go up on this table, this plateau, and feast on this lush grass and be strengthened and nourished by it, all because this has been prepared for them by a loving, caring, concerned shepherd. And listen now, the Lord went ahead of us as well, and He prepared us a place. And He did it in the presence of His enemies as well. As a matter of fact, He suffered and died at their hands. In fact, you and I were His enemies when He did that. He prepared a place for you and me even when we didn't deserve to have a place prepared for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us." The good shepherd, Jesus says, lays His life down for the sheep, even if they're wayward sheep, even if they're unruly sheep, even if they're stubborn sheep. Jesus went and prepared a place for you and me, and this place He prepared for us, it's a church. He established His church for us. He made a fold of safety for us, safe from our greatest enemy, Satan. Now listen, we're still in Satan's view. He still has us in his sights. He's not done with us. He still wants to torment us. He wants to aggravate us. He wants to molest us. He wants to cripple us. But in this place, in Christ's church, there's no temptation that can overtake us that we can't resist and escape from. God tells us clearly in His Word that if we resist Satan, he will flee from us. He's going to come back. He's going to try it again. But if we're in this fold, if we're in the church, if we're in the flock of God, then we have assurance that Satan's darts, that they won't undo us. They won't destroy us. We'll be able to fend those things off. We'll be able to resist any temptation that's known to man as long as we're following close to our shepherd. And in this church, in this fold of safety, our loving shepherd sees to it that all of our needs are met. He set this table before us, this feast before us. Every first day of the week, He sets a feast before us, doesn't He? We come and we partake of the Lord's Supper and we feast on His Word, these lessons that have been prepared for you by Him because He loves you so much. And then in every other day of the week, He's given us this Word that we can just take with us everywhere we go and we can feast from it anywhere, anytime. He's prepared this table before us, even before our enemies. Have you ever sat and read your Bible in the presence of worldly people? I have. And some of them are going to give you grief for that. Or some of them just know who you are and they're going to come give you a hard way to go, because they know you're a Christian. But you know what? Some people are going to see you doing that, and they're going to be drawn to you. But still, our shepherd prepared this place for us just to provide such ample good for you and me. And listen, it goes farther than that. It gets better. He went and prepared a place for us to receive us when the shadow of death finally overtakes us. When it finally engulfs us and takes us away from this world, Jesus said in John 14 and verse 2, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." He went and prepared an eternal place for you and for me, His sheep, because He loves us so much. And you're going to be able to say, "Surely, goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Just like David said, if you're in that sheepfold. How does a place like that sound to you? It sounds awesome, doesn't it? That's why you're here, isn't it? That's why you're listening. That's why you're involved. Does it sound too good to be true? It's not. not with a God like we have, not if the Lord is your shepherd. You're just not going to want for anything for eternity. Is the Lord your shepherd? You go ahead and pick up your songbooks. We're going to sing number 639 in just a moment to encourage you to obey the gospel tonight. If the Lord is not your shepherd, have you made the Lord your shepherd? Because He will anoint your head with oil. As David said, the Lord does for him as His sheep. The sheep were treated with oil. Oil on the head to fend off pests. Oil on the body for scrapes and bruises. We're talking about healing here. The Lord wants to heal you of your greatest ailment. Of the sickness that brings you into greatest danger that you're exposed to in your life. Of the injury that does that. He wants to heal you of your sin. He wants to wash those things away in the waters of baptism right this very night. You don't want to miss an anointing like that. When you have all of your sins wiped away by your good shepherd because He loves you so much, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, salvation. And then you will be able to say like David, "My cup overflows, surely goodness and love and kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Jesus said that His sheep know Him, they hear Him, and they follow Him. They hear His voice and they do what He says. Are you listening? Are you hearing the shepherd calling you home? Because He's calling. Are you ready to follow? He calls you right here in this Word. Listen to what Jesus says now. Ignore me if you want to. I'm nobody. I wouldn't listen to a word I said if I was you, but listen, if Jesus says it, you better listen to it. He's the shepherd. Listen to what He says, Mark 16 and verse 16. "He who believes," or "he who has believed and has been baptized, shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned." The Lord says you need to believe and be baptized in order to be saved. Don't ignore your shepherd. He's calling for you. We stand ready to help you tonight. We'll baptize you in Christ this very moment. You'll be placed in a fold of safety and you will have goodness, loving kindness all the days of your life and you'll dwell with God in heaven forever. We're ready to do that right now. Won't you come and let your wishes be known as we're standing and singing.